This is part two of angels and demons. Last week I talked about demons. And what I did is I took years of study of demons and packed it into one talk. So if you, and I gave you a snapshot of demons, who demons are, where they came from, what's going on, all of this. We found out that demons are fallen angels. They fell, they're under the control of Satan. And we went into great detail. And you could hear that message on our website, on our phone app, if you would like to know that snapshot. Today, I'm going to do the same thing about angels. I'm going to give you a snapshot of angels so you have a balance. Last week, I shared with you how demons can be involved in sickness, can be involved in other parts and problems, and they can cause havoc in people's lives. And today I want to talk to you about angels and their role. So because of all the scriptures I'm sharing, I'm not having you open up your Bibles to a particular location, but you could take notes because I will probably go just as fast as I did last week. So today we're talking about angels and demons. And last week I shared with you the order of how God created things. First, there's always been God. God has always existed. And a lot of us, you know, we try to understand. What I have found amazing is when a man or a woman, a human being, doesn't understand how God could be this or that, therefore it must not be true. Like, you are the tell-all? That you are so wise? But God has been always been here. And the first thing he created was angels. The next thing he created was the galaxies, and I shared with you. And then we talked about the order, and he made man way down the list. Humans were made after lots of stuff, after everything was created, after the galaxies were created, he makes humans. Did you ever wonder why? Do you ever wonder why did he make Adam and Eve? Why in the world did you even make man? And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that he made man in the image of himself. He said, let us make man in our image. And it's the triune being, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making the decision that they are going to make man. And they made a being, according to the scriptures, lower than the angels. So they have angels here, and angels have certain abilities and certain authority and things. And they made another living creature, if we could use that term, the human race, underneath angels. Angels are more powerful. Angels can do things that we can't do. Angels can travel at the speed of thought. We have to travel at the speed of feet. You know, so things are just very different between us and them. But God made us in his image, and he didn't make the angels in his image. He made us out of a choice. He made us. And when he made us, he actually created and committed his personal, individual, godly love for human beings. I've actually heard preachers say this, that God was lonely, and therefore he made someone that he could love, and he made Adam and Eve. God doesn't get lonely. God is complete. He's not missing anything, and he doesn't need anything, nor does he need us, but he chose us. That makes it even better. And what you need to realize is, you know, my question, okay, I'm going to give you my theory, all right? It's not doctrinally true, but I can wait till heaven, and God will say, yeah, Tom was right. But I believe God made the human race because he had a conflict with angels. And when Lucifer tried to overthrow the kingdom of heaven, and God kicked him out of heaven and put him onto planet Earth with the fallen angels, there was a unresolved issue. The unresolved issue is, can someone have free will, and can someone choose God on their own, and can God be a merciful, loving God? Is God just in his judgment of angels and fallen angels and Satan going to the lake of fire? I shared with you a scripture last week where Jesus said that the lake of fire was created for the purpose of Satan and his angels. That's why it was created. And before Satan and his angels go there, God is proving to every angelic being who denied him how merciful, how kind, how wonderful he is by creating us and being gracious to us. And I'll show you scripture on it too. So I believe we're here because we exist because Lucifer tried to overthrow, and God's going to show how great he is and how wonderful he is. So you ready to jump into finding out about angels? Going to do it anyway. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Under the old covenant, there were five major ways that God talked to the people of Israel. Five major ways. The first one was angels. God used angels to talk to his people. The next one was the prophets. When the prophets came along, angels talked. Angels talked before the prophets. The third one was the high priest's breastplate. The fourth one is the Urim and Thummim, and the fifth one is the casting of lots. These five methods are the methods that God used the most common in the Old Testament, and he doesn't use them or very seldom them in the New Testament at all. In fact, when we understand angels and the role of angels, and I'll share with you later today, so angels and their involvement in the Old Testament and prophets. Prophets in the Old Testament spoke on the behalf of God. The major problem that we have today in the charismatic world and in the Pentecostal world and the evangelical world is people think the prophet of the Old Testament is the very same as the prophet of the New Testament, and we have New Testament prophets patterning themselves after Old Testament prophets, and they're not the same at all. The New Testament prophet never existed under the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant prophet does not exist under the New Covenant. In fact, it says that in the book of Ephesians that God gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that these are all brand new gifts. They're all brand new, did not exist before. So when we have a lot of YouTube prophets declaring themselves to be like this, and then they want to act like, you know, Elijah, and they want to act like some Old Testament, there you need to get into the New Testament about it. Now, the high priest breastplate, it was a breastplate that was that he wore, and it had a stone on it. It had 12 stones on the breastplate. The 12 stones stood for every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you remember when Joshua led the people of Israel into Jericho and they conquered Jericho, and Joshua told the whole nation, don't take anything. Everything is holy. Don't take it. And do you remember some guy took it? Do you remember his name? Achan. Okay, yeah, he isn't Achan, all right. He aches a lot. Okay, so Achan steals this. Now, nobody knows it. He took a couple of bars of gold and a cloth or something like that, and he hides it, and nobody knows it, and now they go after Ai. Did you know the next city, it was Ai? That's the name. It's a little tiny city, and the people of Israel couldn't take it. And then when Joshua got before the Lord, he found out that someone had broken the covenant, broken the instructions. And so it was now time to find out who is the bad guy. Who is the sinner in the camp? Who is the rebellious person in the camp? And so what happens is the high priest puts on the breastplate, and then each tribe walks by. And the head of the tribe, all 12, walk by the high priest. And when we find the tribe that Achan is in, that stone lights up. And then what happens is every family, head of every family in that tribe now walks by. They walk by. And when the head of the family, who is the head of the family of Achan, the stone lights up. Boop. And then when each member of that family walks by, Achan walks by and the stone lights up. Boop. And you are caught. So it would have been better that he repented. But he got in trouble. That whole story you'll find, you know, in the book of Joshua. And that the next one is your Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim is found in Exodus chapter 28, verse 30, at least one of them. And it says this, and you shall put into the breastplate of the judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. The Urim and the Thummim, we don't know what it looks like. No one knows what it looks like, but it's two items. One is Urim and one is Thummim. And it was used when the high priest needed a yes or no, needed direction from God himself. And he put these items, let's just say that they were stones, two stones. And he put them in a pocket behind the breastplate. And when it was needed to be used, and it was used in different times of the Old Testament, he'd bring them out and throw them on the ground. And it would tell him, and we would believe that this is God telling him. The next one is the casting of lots. The casting of lots, again, has been practiced throughout the Old Testament in different ways. It could be the pulling of a straw, like, or a stick. It could be a couple of where you reach into a bowl and you pull out a different color. There's one black stone, a bunch of white stones. It's the casting of lots that they believe when they threw the lots down or they pulled the lots, that that was the direction of God. The last time the casting of lots was used in the Bible is found in before the day of Pentecost, where the disciples are in the upper room and they wanted to find a replacement for, you know who? Judas. They needed a replacement for Judas and they cast lots and it fell on a particular individual that they made an apostle, which means they didn't do it by leading of God. They did it by the casting of lots. And at that moment, on the day of Pentecost, casting of lots, the breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim are no longer used by God to communicate his will. And here's what happens. In Hebrews, again, chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways, in time past, spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Today, God speaks through Jesus. Now listen close. Jesus, in his sovereignty, in his choice, appointed an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers. Appointed them and gave them as a gift to the church. The main voice of Jesus today in this generation, in this land, and since the day of Pentecost to the end of this era, or end of this generation, end of this time, is through the five ministry, the five teaching gifts, the gifts that are found in Ephesians, and these are the ones that Jesus appointed to talk and to communicate. In other words, he is going to communicate through those gifts the most. He still does in the New Testament communicate through angels. And one of the gifts is are prophets. It's not the same as the Old Testament, but a New Testament prophet is found throughout the book of Acts. You have an apostle, prophet, evangelist. You have pastors, teachers. And there's, I won't go into that. We don't have time. But this is the main way. And here's what it is. By being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, Jesus Christ is the living image of God the Father. When he was on earth, he said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father tell me. He copied the Father, Father God. If you will read the four Gospels and watch what Jesus did, how he treated people, how he treated a sinner, how he treated the lady caught in adultery, how he treated a sick person, how he treated a lame person, a blind person, you are watching the Father's behavior or desire or will for that individual. So we're seeing the forgiveness of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God in operation through the Father, through Jesus, because he's the brightness of his glory and the express, which means the exact image of his person. In fact, this phrase here for express image, the best way for you to understand it is somebody has a signet ring, and they have an envelope that they seal with wax, and then they push the ring on, and it makes an impression. Jesus is the impressed image of God the Father. They are duplicates. They cannot be separated in that sense. So here are types of angels. These are different kinds of angels that are found in the Bible. And again, I'm taking years of study, compacting it into one quick talk. Type of angels. The first category of angels are archangels. One of the archangels is Michael. Michael is the head of the military forces of all the angels. He fights the battles for God and his people. And he's also the overseer of the cherubim. The next archangel is Gabriel. Gabriel plays the trumpet for special occasions, announces important events for God, head of the civilian forces of angels, and the protector of God's plan. He also oversees the seraphim. The next archangel is Lucifer. Lucifer was an archangel, and he was in charge of worship. He was in charge of overseeing the created beings to worship God and the galaxies to worship God, to make sure that the trees clapped their hands, that the mountains sang, and that the water praised the Lord. This was part of his part. We find out in the book of the Old Testament that Lucifer had a coat, much like Joseph's coat of many colors. He had a coat that was just spectacular, that showed the glory of God and the images of God, and different stones are on it. And he got caught up in glory and recognition, and his pride came before his fall. So he falls, and there's no longer an archangel called Lucifer. He is now a power or demonic power, enemy of God, on planet Earth. The next category are cherub. Cherub, the word cherub is the singular, and cherubim is the plural. Used in the garden, guarding the Garden of Eden when they kicked Adam and Eve out, the cherubim were there in front of the garden so no one would go back in. Some have four wings and some have two wings. They protect us from the evil of unbelief, that they're trying to make sure that we are encouraged in our faith. They communicate the grace and the forgiveness of God. They are the keepers of God's promises. They are on the Ark of the Covenant. These are the two angelic beings that are on the Ark of the Covenant when Moses created it, and they overlaid it with gold, and their wings touch each other. That's the cherub or cherubim. They are always in the presence of God, always at the judgments of God. So whenever there's going to be a judgment made, anything that's going to happen, the cherubim are greatly involved in it. The seraph or seraphim, seraph is the singular, seraphim is the plural, they have six wings. They are in the throne room of God. They are instrumental in our worship to God. These are the ones that fly over the presence of God and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." These angelic beings are involved in every worship service that two people under the name of Jesus gather together. They are also the ones that lead the rejoicing over one sinner coming to the Lord. So whenever someone says yes to Jesus, it says that all the angels in heaven rejoice. These are the worship leaders that bring that rejoicing into being. They work with the Holy Spirit in keeping us separate from the world for the service of God. And they are instrumental in helping us walk in our calling with God. They are the angelic cheerleaders of you following God and holding true to your task, your purpose, your faith, and what you are doing in life. The next category are military angels, which you may not realize that there are. When you read the Old Testament, you'll find out, and the New, you'll find out that there are warfare angels, angels that are actually in the military. There are civilian angels. Their whole category is to help bring logistics to the kingdom of God and to the different things. There are angels that watch over the weather, angels that are assigned to the galaxies, angels assigned to worship, and then there are special groups of angels. Let me back up to this group right here, just so that you have an understanding. When God created matter, when God created substance, when God created dirt, when God created planets, he already had all of his angels already created. He did not create more angels in time. They were all created before any of that, and they all had their assignment. That everything he does, they are involved in doing it. God gives the word, and they're out to make sure it gets created. Special groups of angels. These are the special groups. There are four angels who stand on the four corners of the earth, and we find that in the book of Revelation. And these four angels that are on the different four corners of the earth are controlling the earth, keeping it in its place. And you ever wonder why those gigantic meteors that are coming to the earth, and it says if it hits earth, we're all dead, and then it doesn't hit the earth, you better thank them. Then we have an angel who watches over the bottomless pit, angels in the book of Revelation who carry out the bowls, seals, and trumpets. Angels are not just standing around doing nothing. They are greatly involved in what God wants them to be involved in God's plan, God's purpose, God's ways, and in your life as well. There are guardian angels. Thank God. Thank God. Have you ever been on a journey or going somewhere? It doesn't have to be a journey. It could just be going home from work. And you hit every red light. And you get mad at the red lights. They are slowing you down. They are watching over you. And you shouldn't get mad at them. They want to make sure you get there alive. They want to make sure you get there alive. Suzette was saying something to me, and she was communicating about how there's an uptick on people running red lights. I don't know if you noticed that. It's like common now. When I lived in Korea, but this was 1975, a lot of you were not even alive. But when I lived in Korea, and you were downtown Seoul, everybody knew it, though. The light would change, and the highways were very, very wide, many different lanes, and nobody used the lanes. Not in 1975. They just crowded. Light changed, and nobody moved because at least 50 more cars went through the intersection. Had to wait for it to die down, and then all of everybody else would go, and then they'd fight to get into it. It's like that now. But I was at the corner of Yorba Linda Boulevard and La Palma. I was headed north on Yorba Linda Boulevard, which is where Weir Canyon Honda is. That's where the Honda place is. So I'm going there, and I had this thought came, and I believe it was a guardian angel putting the thought in my head. It was a memory of what my wife said. And I was about, I'm always in a hurry. I have a fast car, and I drive it fast. I'll get through that intersection in half a second. And I started to go. I'm the first car, and I decided, you know what? Excuse me. I decided, I'm not sure if I want to go. I'm just going. I had that whole thought. In within a second, her conversation was replayed in my head. Have you ever had that happen? You just know. It's not even replayed. It's just instantly burned in your brain. I believe that's a guardian angel. And I didn't go, and this truck just flew through the intersection. And he had as red could be. Mine was green as green could be. And if I had been normal, I would have been hit. This guy is really busy for me. So, guardian angels. 1 second, please. These angels know your name. They know who you are. They know everything about you. They were there when you were born. They are there with you now. You've got a group of guardian angels. Have you ever counted how many angels there are? Book of Revelation tells us 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Take 10,000, multiply it by 10,000, then multiply that by 1,000, multiply that by 1,000, then divide it by how many human beings there are. You will find that every human being has approximately 12,000 angels available to them. That's a lot. And they're all created before the earth was created. Guardian angels, angels that know your name, personal angels assigned to assist and protect you. They go before you to prepare your way. The goodness and mercy follow you. Remember that from the Old Testament. That, you know, the angels are in front of you. Goodness and mercy is following you. There is also the angel of the Lord found only in the Old Testament. He appeared the major appearances of the angel of the Lord was to Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua. And we know that this was a Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, where he took upon himself a form of an angel and appeared to certain people under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament and appeared to them, and this is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord isn't in the New Testament because he is Jesus Christ. He was born of the flesh, and he's now got that flesh body for eternity. Angels look very different. Most people don't realize. Most people think angels look alike. I mean, look at us. Welcome to Orange County. We're all different colors. We're all different from different places on planet Earth. You know, we look different. We have different color hair. Why would God make us like this and not make angels different? I mean, think about it. The Bible tells us they are made of light, that they are light creatures. But you know, light comes in a lot of different temperatures. You take white, and you could have, you know, they, you go to Home Depot, and you go find a LED light bulb that you want to replace in your light, and it will say daylight, natural light, and it goes by Kelvins. 5,000 Kelvins is like sunlight. 2,700 Kelvins is equal to an old light bulb, you know, the old kind. You know, like people like that color. It's warm. It's more yellow. If God has yellow white and white white, doesn't he have everything in between? Some have wings and others don't. Not every. Okay, talk about this. Christmas movie. Wonderful Life. So not true. Not every time you hear a ding on the bell, an angel gets its wings. And the guy's trying to earn his wings. Sorry! And let me tell you right now, when you die, you don't become an angel. You're not, oh, there are little angels in heaven. You know, you're not an angel when you get to heaven. You are you. You are a born-again child of God, washed, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are going to reign with Jesus, and it says that we are going to be forever with the Lord. We are really important to God. Some have wings, some don't. They don't earn wings. They either have them or they don't. I'm done saying I'm sorry, but I'm going to cough once in a while. That's okay. Some have two wings. Some have four wings. Some have six wings. Angels are very different. They're different sizes. They're different shapes. But none of them are, I don't know. Do you think they have fat angels? I mean, angels eat. They talk about angel food. That's in the Bible. Angels are involved in, now here's where angels are definitely involved in. They are involved in evangelism, teaching, ruling, guardian, over the abyss, authority over fire, authority over water. They have assignments and they're living out their assignments and it's still happening today. Duties of angels. Angels escort people to heaven or hell. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ on planet Earth and your body dies, your life on planet Earth is over with, your spirit is still alive. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you are going to hell. And there will be a couple of angels that escort you there. If you have said yes to Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. And there will be angels there to take you to heaven. I have had, I'm going to call it a privilege, an honor, to be in a room where a person left planet Earth and went to heaven at the moment that they passed. And I have to tell you, if it's a believer, the atmosphere in the room and how it feels in the room is absolutely amazing. One of the ones that have stuck in my mind for many, many years, this has happened over 30 years ago, was a man dying of cancer, is 32 years old, in the hospital. And we were in the hospital, him and his wife and I, the only three in the room. And he, all of a sudden in the room, it was overwhelming spiritual feeling. A spiritual feeling, a presence that you just know. And then, and there's just the three of us in the room. And then all of a sudden he says, do you see the two angels there? And he's pointing to the foot of his bed. He goes, I did not see them, but I sure felt them. And it was an amazing emotional experience to have him go to heaven and to have those angels take him and escort him to heaven. It wasn't a sad thing at all. It was pretty awesome. It was sad that a 32-year-old husband, father of two, has left planet Earth. That's sad. But for that brief moment, and heaven kind of opened up, it was amazing. Just absolutely amazing. I have had this has happened probably four times in my career, which isn't very often when you think about how long, where I've been preaching, and someone tells me afterwards, I saw standing behind you this big angel, and the angel was doing exactly what you were doing. I don't think he was doing what I was doing. I think I was doing what he was doing. I think it's very different. And so they escort people to heaven and hell. They reveal God's will. They work on God's king, work for God's kingdom. They announce important events. This is all throughout the Bible. Warn of coming danger. Minister to God's people. Angels deliver dreams to people and can appear in dreams. So these are actually all in the Bible, and we can find that angels are very involved in people's lives. Major roles of angels, revealing God's will. That's a major role of an angel, is to try to get you into the will of God and move you along and keep you moving in that direction. God used angels to teach Moses, God to teach Zechariah, to announce John the Baptist's birth, to announce the birth of Jesus, to tell the shepherds about Jesus, to tell Daniel about the future. Just a few examples of them revealing God's will. To tell John, the Apostle John, the future, which is now the book of Revelation. Guiding people in the way of God. Told Joseph to take Mary as his wife. Told Joseph to go to Egypt. At the tomb of Jesus, told Mary to tell Peter and the others that Jesus had risen. Angels told Cornelius to get Peter to tell him about the gospel. If this is in the Bible, that means they're still doing it right now. A few years ago, there was a massive exodus out of multiple Muslim countries moving into Europe. There was a mass group of people that just was leaving because of persecution, because of lifestyle and other things. And the missionaries tell us story after story after story. During that time, many of these were currently Muslim individuals, had a dream or a vision or an appearance of some kind of person in all white telling them to go somewhere, and it ended up leading them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Happens again and again. Just because we in America shut off good supernatural, we embrace evil supernatural, we embrace witchcraft, we celebrate it in Hollywood, we embrace different kinds of magic, but because we don't embrace the goodness of God, a lot of times we miss that there are angelic beings actually in our lives, involved in our life. In this room has more angels in it than it does people. I'll show it to you in a moment. Protecting the enemy from the enemy and promoting the faith in God. In Galatians chapter 1, it says this, verse 8. But even if we, listen to this, here's Paul. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He puts two people in the category. He goes, if anybody who calls himself an apostle or preacher or a teacher and they preach a different kind of gospel, let him be accursed. If an angel does it, why would he tell them if an angel does it, if an angel doesn't? We have to assume that Paul knew angels were preaching the gospel. But they better preach the same gospel, that's Jesus Christ, died on the cross, buried for 3 days, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. That's the gospel. And if any angel preaches any other gospel, then let that angel be accursed. In other words, there is a good test. If a preacher is saying other things than that, if the angel is saying other things than that, then they are wrong, let them be accursed. But Paul wouldn't even say this if it wasn't possible. If we know angels never preach the gospel, then it would be easy to brush off. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, 14. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. But to which of the angels has, has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all, this is very important, are they, that they that's referring to are angels, are they all angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. According to this scripture, angelic beings' main purpose is to help you in life, is to help things take place in life. Now, I've heard preachers say things that I thought, okay, you know, now we leave scripture, we get into opinion, or we get into tradition, or we get into hope, where they tell you, you should order your angel around. There's no way, no place in the Bible where a human being told an angel what to do. In the New Testament, we're going by the word of God and the gifts that God has put into the church, and there are multiple gifts. There are, first of all, the speaking gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, those speaking gifts, and then there are other spiritual gifts, too, that he has placed in there, and those spiritual gifts are different levels of hospitality, giving. There's the gift of healing. There's the gifts of miracles. There are the different gifts that God has put into the church that are supposed to be used for the goodness of the church and keep the church healthy, keep the church moving, but how does it all operate? Just because we don't see the angelic beings in operation doesn't mean they're not busy. God knows they're busy in Orange County. God knows angels are really busy at junior high school. Oh, they call them middle schools now. At middle schools and high schools. Angels are very busy because we are facing a lot of evil. And the evil that we face, they are combating it for us, and they are trying to keep us in a place where we can hear the voice of God, but angels cannot choose for you. You must choose faith. It is impossible to please God except by faith. And you have to be the individual that by faith makes decisions to follow Jesus. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, angelic beings come on in and get involved in your life. I have a good friend of mine who now leads the healing ministry of Andrew Womack. And he was our worship leader when I pastored in Anaheim. His name is Daniel Emstead. And he told me about an event that he was in on vacation in Hawaii. And they were driving on a road. And it's one of those roads where there's just one lane each direction. And something had happened and the other car coming their direction. And it was a very, very tight road. Got over into their lane. And he said, there is just nothing except we're going to hit. It was happening so fast and so close. And he said him and the people in the car simply yelled, Jesus. That's all. And a second later, that car's there and their car's here. How? How? An angel picked up the cars and shifted them. How did Donald Trump survive the shot to his head? An angel flipped his head. So now we got some things to do. They are sent to minister to you. Angels in the book of Acts. Disciples are freed from prisons. Moses talks to the angel of the Lord in the burning bush. Remember Stephen's speech. An angel tells Philip where to preach. An angel guides non-believers to someone to hear about Jesus. An angel gets Peter out of prison. And an angel appeared to Paul and told him about his future. This is on the ship before it wrecked. If angelic beings appeared to Peter and appeared to Paul, you may say, well, they're so holy. They're no holier than you. You're no less holy. The word holy, the Greek word that gives us the English word holy, means to be separated. It means to be for single use. You've been assigned by God for God's kingdom, God's use. And what you need to realize is that God is doing things in your life like he's doing in their life. Angels are always learning from our faith. And here's where a lot of Christians don't understand. And here's my scripture that I use to support my theory or my thought or my belief that we exist to show Satan how bad he was to try to overthrow God. That every single time any human says yes to Jesus and any believer says yes to faith, it is a punch in the face of Satan. Look what you walked away from. You know, we are here to prove God is right to put him in the lake of fire. And according to Ephesians chapter 3, 8 through 10, it says this, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he says, I've been assigned, I get to tell you about the unsearchable riches of Christ, which means that they never come to an end. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Listen close. This verse right here is saying God's ultimate will for our lives was hidden throughout all creation until we came into existence through the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Verse 10, to the intent that now, to the intent that right now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, or by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Well, whenever you find in the book of Ephesians, and you find it in different places where it talks about principalities and powers, it's both good and evil. There are evil spirits that have different levels of authority. There are angelic beings that have different level of authorities. And according to this, we are showing those principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. And I highlighted the word manifold because it comes from two Greek words. The first Greek word means multicolors. The second one means diverse. And the way we put those two Greek words together, the translators came up with the best English word to describe it, and that's manifold. And a manifold has one source in and many sources out. And what's going on is we have the source of God who gives the wisdom of God, but it comes in many different ways, diverse ways, many colors, many fashions of it, of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is just not one thing. It applies to every area of our life, to every single person, and every single person is going to walk in the wisdom of God for their life, and it's going to be different than the wisdom of God for someone else's life. And it says here that they're to be made known by the church. That's you. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Every angelic being is at wondered and awe of what we do by the grace of God. They're watching the grace of God unfold because you are following God. Do you remember the pool of Bethesda where an angel would touch the pool and then someone would get healed? Do you remember that story? Jesus shows up at the pool, and there's a man that's been there for many, many years. And he asks the man, you know, some questions. He goes, I have no one to put me in the pool. And so what Jesus does is he heals him. But what he also didn't do, he didn't dispute the pool. He never told the guy, oh, don't believe that. It's not even true. How would somebody hang around a pool for over 30 years, you know, or 10 years or 5 years or 2 years if they weren't seeing the first person in coming out well? Just a thought. Okay. Angels are involved in answering your prayers. And here's where angels get involved in healing. Every time you pray, angels are assigned to bring the promises of God to pass in your life. And when we realize that, we find it from Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is under a lot of pressure, and he's seeking God, and he's praying, asking God, and an angel shows up. And he says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Answer prayer. When you ask God to heal you, angels are dispatched. When you ask God for your family member to know Jesus, angels are dispatched. You don't control the angels, but your faith in God will dictate where they're going because God controls the angels. And he's going to make sure that his promises come to pass. This is perfect timing for Nick to be here because this is where I wanted to end on what does a worship service look like in the Spirit? So many of us gather together, we come and we worship and they sing the songs and the words come up and we mouth the words and a lot of times the words are coming out of our brain and not from our heart at all because we're preoccupied with other things. You know, we start thinking about work, what's going to happen tomorrow. We think about lunch after church. We think about different things that kind of just our brain could float away. I would like to show you from Scripture what a worship service looks like if you could unveil the natural world and see it in the Spirit. The involvement of angels. What a worship service actually appears to God. Whether you are in the jungles of the Amazon deserts of Africa, the bustling city of China, Japan, United States, or just by yourself with a couple of people who decided to have a Bible study in the middle of the week, have a little guitar, and start to worship God. Every single one of them will look like this. Every one of them. And it doesn't matter your voice. See, I have some family members up here, and we all know Barkies can't sing. We all know that. There's not one that can sing. But you know what? God doesn't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether you're in tune, doesn't care whether you're in pitch, doesn't care. We care about all that stuff, but not when it comes to true worship and worshiping in spirit and in truth. Let me give you a picture of what a worship service looks like. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews takes you back to an event happening in the day of Moses. And he says this, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and the blackness and darkness and tempest." He's saying here, you're not coming. And when he said coming, you're not gathering together like they did in the Old Testament where they gathered at the mountain and the mountain was on fire and the smoke was playing and the smoke was going up and they were so afraid, they told Moses, "You go by yourself, we don't want to go." But God wanted all the entire nation of Israel to come with him onto that mountain. Why? It was a worship service. He wanted them there. He wanted them to be involved in this worship service, and it turned out to be two people, one Moses and the other one Joshua. That's the only two that went on the mountain. And here's what it says. "You have not come to that, to the mountain," he says, "and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were afraid of the presence of God." But you haven't come to that mountain. We're jumping down to verse 22 for just because of time. "But you have come," listen to this, "when you gather together, whether it's in this room, whether it's in the jungle, whether it's at a desert, whether it's a Bible study, it doesn't matter. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. When you worship, you are actually coming to the very throne room of God. And in the throne room of God are angels and angelic beings. There are angels involved in your worship. You are coming to Mount Zion. You are coming to the city of the living God. You are coming to the heavenly Jerusalem and the company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." He says, when you gather together as a group of people to worship, every single Sunday that we gather here as Church of Grace in the city of Yorba Linda, this is the appearance that God sees. God sees that heaven opens up, that you are in front of the new Jerusalem, that you have the angelic beings, you have the humans who are in heaven also worshiping God, the angels that are on planet Earth, your guardian angels, they join into worship, and the seraphim are heading up the worship of the worship team, the worship people, and you have come also to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood called out to God when his brother killed him. It called out to God. The blood of Jesus calls out to the throne room of God. And when we gather together, no matter where your brain is, your spirit is in the presence of God with these angels that are singing and worshiping right alongside you. This place is full of angelic beings. And when you come in here on a Sunday morning and they start to sing, don't think about the words. Think about the presence of the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the holy Savior, God the Father himself, who's the judge of all, sitting there and absorbing your worship and enjoying your worship and saying, "Keep on doing it." You are in the presence of Almighty God every time you worship. You need to know it's beyond what you see. It's what you can't see. During worship, During worship, people are healed of emotional things. People are healed of physical things. People get wisdom from the Holy Spirit. During worship, when heaven is opened and it just cracks open, and then all you see is the glory of God, wisdom starts coming down into people. People start to get thoughts, spiritual thoughts. Angels are very busy with thoughts and putting thoughts. If a demonic spirit can put a thought in your brain, an angel can put one in your brain. Demonic spirits are fallen angels that have less power than those that haven't fallen. But they still have some type of power and still have some way of throwing thoughts and throwing fiery darts to your brain and to your heart. Angelic beings have ways of suffocating those fiery darts by reminding you of what God has said, reminding you of what God has done in the past. But it's you that has to step up in faith and believe. Believe the promises of God. Believe the memories of God. Believe what God has done in your life. You have to enter in to that worship. And during that worship, Jesus, the mediator, is very busy. Angelic beings are very busy. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. So I close with this. Hebrews 13:2 tells you, hey, be nice to people you don't know, because it could be an angel. This would not be written if it wasn't true. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. There are times where God sends an angel in your life and he looks like a human and just wants to see your reaction, or that angel wants to encourage you, complete stranger that you've never seen before. Could be the person, could be the person on the elevator, could be a person that you interact at a coffee shop. Could be anybody. But he says, hey, angels are interacting with people all the time. I hope I was able to give you a snapshot of understanding angels, the different categories, the different roles, the different positions, their different involvement. But what I hope more than anything else, I hope more than anything else, you'll change your attitude of worship. That you're not alone. When you begin to worship God, you are not alone. Jesus made this statement, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I, he is in the midst. He's right there. How is he there? Through this worship service, through this time of worship. Did you learn something today? Could we give the Lord a hand and thank him for his word? I am not done on the series of divine healing. We have more to share with you, but that will be next time I'm in the pulpit. We'll go continue to go down that journey until the Lord says we're done in that journey. So we'll see where that takes us. But what the most important thing is, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart and into your life? If you haven't, today's the day to do it, whether you're here in the room or you're watching online. So would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? With every head bow, every eye closed. God wants you to go to heaven. God is not keeping you from heaven. He's waiting for you to say yes to Jesus, his son. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the moment to do it. This is the time to be granted the entrance into heaven because of his grace, his goodness, his mercy. If you've never asked him, if you want to do that today, if you're saying, yes, I want to ask Jesus into my life, if that's you, would you lift your hand anywhere in the room? I just want to pray with you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? And at home, too, you watching online, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, this is the moment to do it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'd like everyone in the room to say the prayer after me so those who are saying it for the first time don't feel isolated. So would you say this after me? God in heaven, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is your son, that he died on the cross to give me new life. Today, I accept Jesus as my Lord. I call on the name of the Lord for your grace and for your love. Today, I am born of God. Amen. Amen. Could we give the Lord a big hand?